The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
We're changed by God's grace, not our works and effort. You say, well, what is my part? I'm supposed to do something. Here it comes.
As we walk through each new day, we all have questions. They're just part of life. But did you know there are answers for you? God says when we look, we'll find Him. He's not trying to hide anything. So together, we are discovering life's everyday answers. Welcome to Everyday Answers. We all have questions in life, and this is the show where we take a question and we dig into God's Word for the answer. Joyce Meyer helps us out all along the way. So if you have a question, ask it on social media using hashtag AskJoyce. So today we're going to get rolling with a question. This comes from Kevin in Rwanda. And Kevin says, how do I get transformed and changed to be a better person? What a great question, Kevin, and it's not something that you're facing on your own. Many, many of us want to transform our lives, but sometimes it's just difficult to believe that we can become the person we want to be, the person God wants to help us become. Today, not only is Joyce going to answer that question, but we'll meet a man who needed a huge transformation. In fact, just to be honest, when I first met him and he began telling me his story, it just made me really angry. This was not a good guy. Well, stay tuned and you'll see. So first, let's jump right in with Joyce's answer to the question, how can I transform my life?
The greatest transformation, I believe, is what God does in us and how He changes us from what we were when we started to what He wants us to be. And it's a process. It's not something that happens all at once. It doesn't happen instantaneously. It happens over a period of time. And if you want to enjoy your journey with God, then you will have to be patient and realize that although you're not yet where you need to be, that God's not mad at you about that, that He loves you every step of the way. And the main thing I believe that God wants is for us to just keep pressing on and to be making some kind of progress. I don't know about you, but I like progress. I like to know that I'm getting somewhere, even if it's not everywhere that I would like to be, at least I'm getting somewhere. So we tell people, and have been telling them for years, you may not be where you want to be, but thank God you're not where you used to be. And I encourage you, now listen to me, I want to encourage you this morning to be excited about the growth that you've had. Don't always just be looking at what you're not, what you're not, what you're not. But really get excited and take some time sometimes and think about just the difference in you from when you started with God and where you're at now. How many of you are a little bit nicer than you used to be? Okay. Thank God. So, the greatest transformation, I believe, is for a person to be selfish, self-centered, self-conscious, self-conceited, self-confident, self-absorbed, and be turned into a Christ-like, unselfish child of God who walks in love. That's our goal, walking in love. Not the world kind of love that we turn on and off, dependent on what people do, but the agape of God, the kind of love that just loves because that's what it is. A good thing to pray is, God, reduce me to love. Let me be a body wholly filled and flooded with love. The greatest commandment is you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. And you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. I think the Bible is a book largely about relationships. It's about our relationship with God, our relationship with people, but it's also a lot about our relationship with ourselves. And I don't know if you've noticed it yet or not, but a lot of the Bible talks about the way God wants us to see ourselves and the attitude that He wants us to have toward ourselves. God actually wants you to love yourself, not in a selfish, self-centered way, but in a balanced, healthy way. He wants you to not be against yourself all the time and constantly finding everything that's wrong with you, but He wants you to see what He has created you to be, and that although you've not arrived yet, you are on your way. Everybody say, I'm on my way. So I think to experience this kind of transformation, one of the things and the first thing that we need to do is we need to learn who we are in Christ and then begin to walk in that.
We all need help changing in one way or another. And yes, some transformations are bigger and more difficult than others, but it's important to know that nothing is insurmountable with God's help. There's more coming from Joyce. And as I promised, I want to introduce you to a great example of a life completely transformed. But I'm warning you, at first, you may not like this guy. I didn't.
I was a victim of circumstance growing up in my neighborhood. I was gang banging and I was trying to seek any available opportunity to get out. And I got introduced to the business by an older friend of mine in the neighborhood. I just picked it up, developed the craft, and it was all about catching the woman in position of her vulnerability. A lot of women are runaways. They have nobody that love them, care about them. So when I come along, I'm making them feel loved. I give them that attention that they're looking for. And in turn, you know, they give me what I desire, which is financial support. And it sounds kind of bad, you know what I'm saying, because I was the bad guy. I was like the enemy, like a roaring lion seeking to whom I may devour. It was all about business. So that was the only thing on my mind.
Is that hard for you to say I was the bad guy?
No.
Not anymore?
No, because I know it was wrong. Society told me it was wrong. They showed me it was wrong, you know, when I got convicted and sent to prison, you know.
And you were making those choices?
Yes. And when I was out there on the streets, I didn't really feel that I would ever amount to anything. All I knew was from day to day, this is what I do, this is my job, and I'm good at it.
There are going to be a lot of people watching right now who are really mad at you.
I've been shot at, you know, I've been stabbed 5 times, you know, I've been to prison, you know what I'm saying, because of those particular activities. It was like a learning lesson which I was refusing to learn. So I'm continue doing this until something else comes along. That something else was God.
Now, what do I mean when I say who we are in Christ? Well, when we're born again, we're put into Christ, and he comes to live in us. We become one. And so him being in us, we now share in everything that he is, everything that he has, and everything that he's done by faith. Jesus is totally righteous. Nothing wrong with him. And do you know the Bible says that he that knew no sin, being Jesus, became sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. So in Christ, one of the things that we now have is rightness instead of wrongness. Isn't that wonderful? Let's look at Romans 3:23. Since all have sinned and are falling short of the honor and the glory of God. I like that. It doesn't say that we've all sinned and did fall short. We are falling short. Every day, every moment. We are falling short of the honor and the glory which God bestows and receives. All, everybody say all. How many of you agree we've all sinned? Okay. But you know what? Not everybody knows, and even if they did know, they might have a hard time agreeing to the rest of this. So all are justified, that means made just as if you've never sinned, and made upright and in right standing with God, freely and gratuitously by His grace, His unmerited favor and mercy through the redemption which is provided in Christ Jesus. So in Christ, we are made right with God. You know how wonderful and freeing it is to not have to constantly meditate on everything that's wrong with you? Am I the only one in the building that's excited about that? I mean, isn't that, my gosh, I did that for so many years. And you know, the world is full of people that are more than happy to tell you what's wrong with you. And when I say that we're righteous, I don't mean we do everything right. And that's the glory of this. We all are falling short of the glory of God. You've already done wrong things this morning. I've already done wrong things. I had some kind of stupid thoughts earlier this morning. I mean, do you ever get into stupid in your head? It's like, and it's like you're just going around thinking stuff, getting ready, doing stuff, and then all of a sudden you're like, what? Why am I even thinking about that? So the Bible says that when we sin, we not only sin in behavior, but also in thought and word. Thought, word, and deed. So we might as well just give up the pressure of perfectionism and stop feeling like that God's going to reject us or be mad at us if we don't perform perfectly every day. Now, somebody might say, well, Joyce, don't you think you're taking a chance in saying that to people? What if they just now think it's okay for them to sin? Well, you know what? I'm not the least bit worried about that, and I'll tell you why. If you love God enough, then you are not a person that's getting up every day looking for an excuse to sin. So I'm going to help you by telling you, yes, do your best and let God do the rest. And every day, you'll get better and better and better. Little by little, from glory to glory, we improve.
At what point, you know, did you begin thinking there has to be a better way?
It was just like God turned the light on, you know. So when I was in a dark room, now I could see. And everything started to be more clear as far as my life was concerned. Now, I had two girls go to jail, and I'm in Motel 6, and all of a sudden, you know, I get dressed and I'm ready to go to work, and I find myself outside on the street, standing up under the light, and, you know, I just called out to God, and I asked Him to change things in my life, you know, make me who You want me to be, and here I am.
How did you know even who to call out to?
Because I had nobody else. You know, I have family, and because of my occupation and because of what I did, you know, they turned their backs on me, and the only friends that I had were pimps. So it was like divine revelation on who to call. And it, from that moment on, was the process of life changing.
What were some of those steps that you had to go through to change your life?
It didn't happen dramatically or overnight. It was a process. I mean, I was still out there, I was still doing what I do, but eventually God kept bringing people in my path, you know, with little whispers of this and Jesus loves you. I know when my daughter was born, you know, the first thing that I told my wife is that we have to get her dedicated to the Lord. And so we got her dedicated, and then we were sitting in church, was like, well, how can we get her right if we're not right? And when we said that, then we stepped up to the altar and accepted Jesus in our life. And life has been good ever since.
So let me ask you about that trade-off, what you gave up for what you have today.
What I have now is peace of mind. I wouldn't turn around, I wouldn't go back, you know. I love my wife, I love my family, but first off and foremost, I love the Lord, you know. And I know if I stay with Him and follow Him, then I'll be protected, my family, and everything will go according to His will.
And I tell you what, I still have not arrived, but I am sure not like I used to be, and that's what the Word of God is supposed to do for us. Amen? We are transformed into his image. Amen. Our destination is Christ-likeness. And our destination is to respond to people and things and situations the way that Jesus did when he was here. Thank God that the world is not our standard, but Jesus is our standard. So I love that we are falling short. It's not just a one-time thing. I didn't just like get all messed up, but now I've got it all together. We are falling short of the glory of God, but we are all justified and made right with God through Christ. In him, not in my behavior. I don't do everything right, but I still am right. And here's the reason why this is so important. Now please listen, you're never gonna produce anything that you don't believe you have. So how foolish would it be, and this is many times what people do. You gotta do this, you gotta do this, you need to do this, you need to do that. That's what religion, just raw religion without relationship, does to us many times. Loads us down with rules and regulations and all of these guidelines about behavior, but never gets around to telling us who we are in Christ. Amen? If I don't know that I have something, I can't produce it. If you said to me, give me a dollar, I couldn't give you a dollar if I didn't know that I had a dollar. So how can you ever have better, how can you ever produce more right behavior if you don't know that you are right and that that seed of rightness is in you as a gift from God? So I want everybody to say, I've got it. And this is what we need to know. We've got it. We've got what it takes. We're full of everything that we need, and it's just working its way from deep inside of us to outside of us where everybody can see it. This is a happy day, happy day, happy day. Okay. We are loved. Wow. So many people desperately need to not only hear that, but believe it. I've said several times in this conference, God is never going to love you any more than he does at this moment right now. You might think, well. Because see, sometimes we think, well, if we improve, then God will love us more. God doesn't love us because of anything we do. He loves us because that's who he is. God is love, and he loves us with everlasting love, with a perfect love that is unconditional and cannot be bought. Can I tell you something today? God is not for sale, and you cannot buy him with your good works. Amen? It's free grace. God loves us not because we deserve it, but because he has to do that. That's just what he does. And so even if you just are having a really hard time getting a hold of how God could love you, just receive it and let that love begin to heal the wounds in your life.
Tell me the difference in the way that you see women now.
The way I see women now is with respect of being who they are. And then I realized too that, you know, as a man of God, I have a daughter, you know, and I would hate to see her in that position, you know. So my mission now is to stay closest to God as I can get and keep her up under his umbrella and full up with his word, you know. So it's important to me, you know, I love women now.
But you're no longer the bad guy.
No longer the bad guy. You know, well, maybe once they see this video, you know, but in God's eyes, you know, I'm washed clean and I'm whole and I'm free of that. You know, I have a beautiful wife with two kids. You know, I have my own business. But it's nothing like the feeling that I feel now being present with my Lord than I've ever felt before in life.
Hebrews 10:14, for by a single offering, I love this one, he has forever completely cleansed and perfected those who are consecrated and made holy. Forever, completely, forever, completely, forever, completely. Everybody say, I've got it. Woo. We're changed by God's grace, not our works and effort. You say, well, what is my part? I'm supposed to do something. Here it comes. Four things. Believe. Dare to believe God is changing me. I want God to change me. I've asked God to change me. I want to be what He wants me to be, and I believe that God is working and that I'm getting better and better all the time. I actually believe that God changes us in such minute little degrees that we don't really see it or recognize it. That's why sometimes you have to look back to how you were 10 years ago and then say, wow, God really has done a work. So first thing, believe. Second thing, study God's word. Now, I didn't say read the Bible. That's cool, do that too. But I'm talking about studying the word of God. Even if it's 30 minutes a day, even if you start with 15 minutes a day, study. Don't get into the Bible for quantity, look at it for quality. Stick with it till you can say, okay, I learned something today. I saw something that encouraged me. Don't just go through it at warp speed and then feel proud of yourself because you read 3 or 4 chapters if you can't remember one thing you read. Amen? Get in a Bible study. Study the Word. It's great to hear preachers. I'm glad you watched my program. I'm really glad you came to the conference, but I want you to study. And we have things to help you. And don't use the excuse, I can't understand the Bible. There's too many modern translations of the Bible for anybody to say they can't understand it. And there's too many other books and things to help you study. Time with God. You've got to have time with God. Time with God. Spend time with God. Put God first. Work the rest of your schedule around Him. Start with 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, but go somewhere, get by yourself, get a good book, get a Bible, have nothing but just you and God, but spend time with God. Because here's the bottom line, no matter what anybody else teaches you, He's the one that's got to put it all together and make it work in your life. And then learn to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you what, if we would just do what God tells us to do. You say, well, Joyce, what about discipline, self-control, making right choices, doing what's right, whether you feel like it or not? Well, that's all part of it too. See, the thing I like about this is this whole restoration thing, there's a lot of parts. There's the part that only God can do. There's the part He expects me to do. There's His grace, and I can't do anything without that. And now here's a scripture that just makes you want to scream. Colossians 3:5. So kill, deaden, deprive of power, the evil desire lurking in your members, those animal impulses and all that's fleshy in you. Anyway, on and on and on and on. Basically says kill the flesh. Anytime that you're used to something, whether it's self-pity or reasoning or fear or worry, when you first start not giving into it, you are going to suffer. I thought you might handle it better if I spelled it. But in case you didn't get it, it's suffer. You can get free from anything if you're willing to believe, study, spend time with God, follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and be willing, if God leads you the hard, long way, to let your flesh go ahead and not be comfortable for a while, because you will come out on the other side comfortable. Amen.
Major transformation in your life is not easy. It just never is. But I promise you, and most importantly, God's word guarantees that it is possible, especially when Christ is helping you through it. Now, I was angry at Gene in the beginning when we first started talking because he was so honest about who he was, and who he was not good. But by the end of our conversation, I loved him. The change in his life is just so evident. He simply is not that person anymore. And it really was his honesty that helped that transformation happen. You have to be honest about the change that you need in your life. And we want to help you. So we have a resource to offer for you today. It's called It's Never Too Late. This will encourage you through either a digital download or just like this, 4 hours of teaching on CD, to know that you can change no matter where you've been, what you've done, what has happened to you. You should never give up because it's just never too late for God to work in your life. So get this out. And it all begins, that change in your life, with asking Jesus to take over. Today, be an inspiration and share your story with us. It will help other people on Facebook, on Twitter. Here's an example from Facebook that I want to share with you. This is from Sherry, and she says, in 1999, I was a homeless alcoholic, but in that year, every time I got drunk, if there was a TV nearby, Joyce Meyer was on television. I love that. After some time hearing God's word, something snapped me out of that lifestyle, and I've been sober going on 17 years now. Sherry, thank you. That is encouraging. It's awesome. We're so proud of you. And I'm telling you, God will make a way to get to you if you allow Him to do it. We want to hear from you. So today, explain the difference between who you were before and who you are in Christ today. And be right here to join us next week. Joyce answers the question, God, is that you? It's a great question that will benefit a lot of us. Let me just encourage you as we close for you to be the answer for someone else today. Maybe as simple as a smile or doing something kind, but you can make a big difference in their life. We'll see you next time.
The preceding program was paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.